Good morning. It's time for the Word of God, and today we're going to take a little walk through the Old Testament and the New Testament, some wonderful passages from Psalm, Philippians, and 2 Timothy. So starting first with Psalm 27, verses 1 to 5, and 13 and 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. And verses 13 and 14, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Excuse me. Okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are powerful scriptures, aren't they? And 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord.
A few years ago, I decided to enroll in a doctorate in psychology program for professional development. I just wanted to learn a little bit more, and so I enrolled in this program. And things were going great. I loved the classes. I loved the professors. They were practical. I was engaged. And it was just a really good opportunity for me to kind of sharpen some of my skills. And things were going great for about the first 18 months. And then we were involved in what is called a CPPR, and that was kind of the first obstacle that I had. We were in practicums. We had a practicum. We were seeing clients. We were learning psychological assessment tools. In principle, it seemed to make sense. You were going to use these tools to apply to your clients. You were going to write a case study, and all would be good. Well, not so much the case. So in theory, it's a great idea, but in practice, it was a phenomenal amount of work. They assigned us supervisors. We had an additional supervisor. There were more readings. There were more books and articles to read. We were to integrate these articles into our report, into our case study. We were now in small groups where we would talk about our case. We were meeting with our classmates one-on-one to again talk about our case. All this in preparation for that big day. Now, that big day would be the day where you would sit with two other psychologists, people you don't know, they don't know you, they would have read your case study, they would have made some thoughts and had some questions, and then they would interview you. And so that great day came, that big day came, and of course, I didn't sleep well the night before. It was raining when I got up. I got there early, and I sat in the waiting room, and I waited. And the longer I waited, the more ruminating, the more thoughts. What if they ask me this? I'm not prepared for that. What if they question why I'm using this tool and not that tool? What if they say this? And the more I waited, the more thoughts came to my mind. And the more thoughts that came to my mind, the bigger my head became, not with knowledge, but with fear, with worry, with anxiety. And by the time they actually called my name, I walked in and I felt my head was this big and it was literally going to explode. I walked in, and to this day, I kid you not, I believe the room was black. There was no lights on. I got in, I sat down, they introduced themselves, they sat across the table from me, and they started asking me questions. And did I mention I had a headache? My head was really, my mouth was really dry. I rambled. I just talked, and they asked me questions, and I talked, and I talked, and I talked, and I actually don't even know what I said. And I was so stressed. I was so worried. And as you do, you walk out, and all your classmates go, well, how was it? And you're like, I was a complete disaster. Oh, we know you did great. And it was, I felt sick. I wanted to vomit. I was really a train wreck. And the plan was that you would go in a few days and you would collect the envelope that had the results on it. And I didn't go. I didn't go and collect my results. It was weeks before I would actually go and collect my results. And my supervisor would say, you need to go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I was too afraid. Now, I consider myself a relatively normal person. You might not agree, but I consider myself pretty normal. One of my favorite verses is John 10:10. If you know me, you've heard me teach or preach, I often kind of go back to that favorite verse of mine. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, to destroy. But Jesus said what? I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life in the full. I've come to give you abundant life. I had no abundant life. I had no joy of the Lord. I had no peace. I was riddled with fear. I was a slave, like that song we're singing. I was a slave to fear. Why is it that we give in to fear? Why is it that we kind of go against what we know to be true and allow fear to permeate, to capture our thoughts and our minds and our bodies? Why do we do that? Has anyone ever experienced this type of fear? It's not pretty. It's not pretty. And over the holidays, I was praying about what to preach on. What should we be speaking on? And because we're so connected globally, we are continually on a daily basis hearing the fear of world leaders, hearing the fear of news broadcasters talking about situations in different countries. I thought of the fear in the city. There's a lot of fear in the city. And we fear for the future. We fear for the unknown. There's fear in our church. We wonder what's life going to look like here at Sunlight Tower. What's life going to look like at Kennedy Road when we go back? We fear finances. Will we have enough staff? There's a lot of fear. We think about our workplaces. There's fear in the workplace. Am I measuring up? Will I get my bonus? Am I going to meet my targets? Will I have a job? There's fear. What about our personal lives? There's fear in our personal life. Will I get married? Will I have a child? Will I get into the university of my dreams? What will that medical report say this week when I go? There's fear. We have a lot of fear. Now, fear, that is that four-letter word that can be positive or it can be negative. Now, the positive part of fear is we are wired, actually, physiologically wired to respond to fear. It's natural. In fact, we wouldn't have survived this long if we didn't have this instinct ability to respond physiologically to fear. And so when we're in a fearful situation, our entire body knows what's happening and it responds. Our heart starts beating faster. Our blood starts pumping. Our lungs expand. Our eyes dilate, so we're kind of more keenly aware. Our hormones change. We stop salivating, and that's why we get dryness of mouth. Our entire body physiologically makes changes to respond to a threat, to respond to danger, to respond to fear. And you know the phrase, we do this, and it's fight, flight, or freeze. Now, lots of us might be aware of fight and flight when we're in a fearful situation, but freeze is when we actually become paralyzed. We emotionally shut down to protect ourselves. We kind of go like a turtle, right? We go inward. We can't move because we are trying to protect ourselves from this fearful thing that's actually, that we feel this perceived threat upon us. Has anyone ever experienced a fight, flight, or freeze? I'm the only one, Charles, and I, oh no, there's a few. All right. It can be really, really gripping, our fear. I was a student youth ministry intern at Bedford Baptist Church while I was going to seminary. And this was a formal, kind of a higher Baptist church. They wore very big robes and had a very large stage and a very big pulpit. And they asked me to do the call for the offertory. And so I walked up and I looked literally down at the congregation. And I looked down at my paper to read the response for the offertory, and my sheet was completely white. There wasn't one word on my sheet, not one. And it's like, oh Lord, you know, I'm supposed to say something. I have nothing to say. I don't know what to say. There was so much fear, so much fear. And fear can be a good thing, but it also can be a negative thing. Think about our biblical heroes, heroes of the faith. They had fear. Think about Mary, a teenage girl betrothed to Joseph, a virgin. An angel comes to her and says, you are going to have a child. You will call him Jesus. He will be the savior of the world. Now, that's a scary situation, right? You're a teenage girl, you're told you're pregnant, and an angel has just come to see you. Like, that's pretty scary. And what's said to her is, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. What about Job? Job, the man who had everything and lost everything. He had a wife, a family, he had livestock, he had a livelihood, he had health, and Job literally lost everything. And this is what he said, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil. What about David? The man after God's own heart. He suffered fear. We know that he wrote the book of Psalms, and a lot of it was in a cave when he was hiding from Saul because Saul was pursuing him. His life was in danger. We know that he wrote, you know, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence. His prayer to God when he sinned with Bathsheba. He was a man of fear. He had fear. What about the Apostle Paul? Now, how could Apostle Paul not have fear when you read all that he went through? And it says this, I have been in prison frequently, been flogged severely, have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. A lot of fear there, right? Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen to me next? Will I have enough money? Will I survive? We know the Apostle Paul had fear in the workplace. He says this, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. We know in Corinth, when he was working with Priscilla and Aquila, he was teaching in the synagogue, and there would have been a lot of banter, a lot of challenge. He was challenged frequently about his faith, and he was often doing battle. And clearly it was wearing on him, because we read this in Acts. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in the city. Now, I have visions of, you know, Paul's exhausted, he's worked all day, he's lying in bed, God knows he's worried, and he gives him this reassurance. And he's kind of got him in his arms, and he's caressing his head, and he's saying, oh, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But the translation is different. It's actually, stop it, stop it. It's kind of like a parent to a child, right? Stop it, stop being afraid, stop it. And you're kind of like, fear, stop it. Stop being afraid. Now, there are some things that we are to fear. We know that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We know that the fear of the Lord is what God requires of us. We need to be afraid of him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and keep his commandments. That's in Deuteronomy. But it initially talks about, you know what that the Lord requires of you, but to fear the Lord your God. We are to fear God. We are to have a healthy fear of God. We know that Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We need to have knowledge of God, knowledge that he is faithful, knowledge that he is good, knowledge in his promises. I promise never to leave you or forsake you. We need to have that knowledge of who he is. Crystal really so appropriately named the names of God. And if we don't know, the names of God can be really helpful to help us knowing his character, knowing who he is. And so we need to know that, because that will help us. The heroes of the faith, they had fear, but they also knew God. They knew the character of God, and they left God on the throne. They didn't put their fear, their situation, their worries, their anxieties on the throne. They put God on the throne. The opposite of fear is faith. And how can we have faith if we don't know who God is? Mary's response to her fearful situation, here's what Mary said. Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I am a faithful servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Job. What about Job? Job trusted in God. Job didn't trust in his emotions. He didn't trust in his friends who said, curse God and die. Job, it's your fault. Just say, curse God and die. He didn't trust in his friends. He didn't trust in his emotions. Emotions come and go. They're very, very dynamic, not in a good way when it comes to being anchored and rooted in who God is. Job said this, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. What about David? Particularly, what about David when he was fighting Goliath? Remember Goliath back to Sunday school days, the big Philistine who everybody was afraid of? David, that small shepherd boy, he says this. He says this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and to the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into the hands. David's talking smack, right? He's trash-talking Goliath, total trash-talking Goliath. Look at him. He is just going to town. It kind of reminds me of, you know, boxers before they go into the ring on WWF, where they're like, yeah, well, I got you. Not that I watch these shows frequently, you know. Your sins will find you out, right? But David knew the battle belongs to the Lord. David knew that there is power in the name of the Lord. David knew that. And he had courage. He had confidence. He had supernatural boldness. He knew he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. He knew that. What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul says this. Kind of sounds very casual when you see what Paul's actually been through. Well, yes, we've been hard-pressed on every side. It's like, really? Like, everybody's against you, you know? We've been hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How come the Apostle Paul, through such adversity, through such challenge, through such difficulty, through so many difficult, fearful situations, was able to say these words? Because he knew that God's grace was sufficient for him. He knew that God's power is made perfect in weakness. He knew that when he was weak, that God was strong. He knew that his power comes from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind. And there is no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. We can overcome our fears. We can memorize scripture. They say that there's 365 verses that will help us to be able to fight fear. When fear comes our way, we can quote the word of God. We don't have to memorize all 365 verses. If we had a few up our sleeve that we could throw at fear, that will help us. We can pray about our fears. David said this, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." We can pray through our fears. What about the body of Christ? We can speak to other people about our fear. You know, fear kind of harbors in those dark corners of our heart and our mind. But when we shine light to it, when we tell other people what we're afraid of, we will feel lighter. We will feel that there's someone journeying with us. We can remind ourselves that if God is for me, who can be against me? That God, it's the same God that was with Mary, with David, with Paul, with Job. It's the same God that is with you. We can remember that we walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings. Jesus, when he was leaving his disciples, said this, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, let it neither be afraid." You might not feel victorious. You might not feel like you're on top of your fears, but we walk by faith. We know the battle belongs to the Lord. We know there's power in the name of Jesus. We know that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And sometimes we need professional help. Sometimes we need others to maybe do exposure therapy or visualization. These are therapeutic techniques to help us to battle our fears. Fear can be positive. Fear can be negative. Fear can be overwhelming, and we sometimes might need to slay that giant of fear in our life. Abiding in Christ will help us to be able to conquer that fear and to have that courage and that confidence. Well, I faced my fear. I needed to do a little bit of work. Like Mary, I needed to surrender. I needed to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done. I am your servant, Lord. Let it be to me as you decide." Like Job, I needed to trust. I needed to trust that God knew what was best for me. Like David, I needed to depend on him. I needed to lean not on my own understanding, but I needed to depend on him. I needed to say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. That famous Psalm 23 passage. And like the Apostle Paul, I needed to be reminded that my grace is sufficient for you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortal men do to me? It says in Hebrews. I faced my fear. I surrendered to the will of God. I went to the office. I got my envelope. I opened it. And thanks be to God, I passed. A relief, a blessing, an answer to prayer, and a big waste of time, right? I wallowed in fear for weeks. I wallowed in fear for weeks. God has not given me, God has not given you, God has not given Union Church, God has not given the city of Hong Kong a spirit of fear. But God has given me, God has given you, God has given our church, God has given the city of Hong Kong a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. I don't know what fears you bring to the house of God today, but they can be overwhelming. They can be giants that need to be slayed. But God's word says, cast all your cares and worries to me because I care for you. Our burden is heavy, his burden is light. We can give him our fears. We can give him our worries. Lord God, we give to you our children that we may be worried about, who may not be making the right choices. We give to you our marriages. We give to you our future, wondering where you're leading us and the fear of knowing what to do next. We give you our health. We ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will lighten the load, that you'll give us courage to face what we need to face. And we ask that you give healing where you need to heal. Lord God, we give you our church. And we ask, Lord God, that you have your way, that you give us peace as we wait on you, Lord, that you give us peace. Lord, we give you our city. And we ask for just a knowledge of who you are. We pray for new light. We pray for hope. We pray for new ways forward. We pray, Lord, for your peace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. May you deliver us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.